And I pray for those who are not with us this morning, those who are experiencing grief, health, sickness. I just pray that you would be with them, and I lift them up to you. Be with Roger and Becky and Philip and Deanna in their places of service. Watch over them today. We ask for your guidance and protection as we go through the storm and the coldness here the next week. Please watch over us through that. And now as we pause our hearts, pause our minds from the busyness of life, our prayer is that our hearts could be soft as we dig into your word. And I just pray you be with Brother Mike as he shares with us. May you give him boldness and clarity of thought. So we commit this time to you. It is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Morning. It is good to be with you all this morning, and I have the wide open direction from Zach to just keep going till 11 if I need. So I don't think I'll do that though. But I do want to keep it as short as I can. I have that in mind. The snow is coming down, but it is a blessing to be here with you all, and trust that God will speak to us as we look into his word and to seek to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. So for the message this morning, it was inspired by some of the responses right before and right after the election that I observed. And this is a sermon that I had prepared a couple months ago. And just remembering some of those maybe anxieties, we could say, looking ahead at this election and what's going to happen. And I heard different comments from people, the worries, and I'm sure you did as well. What might happen if a certain person gets into office? And the amazing thing is that it happened on both sides, and just depended on which camp you were in, which anxieties you had. But it was pretty clear to see that there were a lot of people who were pretty worried about what might happen. And if I'm honest, I mean, I can't say I didn't have any of that either. Just thinking about what's going to happen. Things might be changing. And I was considering that and just wondering, is that okay for us to have those feelings? And I hope so. But I was thinking about that, and there was a bigger question that came to my mind as I was meditating on that. And the question is, where do I find security? And just thinking about how election results can make people feel a little more secure than they were. But we want the feeling of knowing that we're safe. And where do we look to for that? Where do we find security? Do we need a particular president in the White House to feel secure? And there's other things you could think about as well, maybe finances. Maybe it's a certain amount of money in the bank account or a certain type of home security to make us feel secure. Where do we go to for security? So the title of the message this morning is, Where is Your Security? And if I could just distill it into one main point, my main point for this morning is that our security as Christians is rooted in the presence of Jesus. That doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen in life, but rather it points to a deep-seated peace about who we belong to and who we're with. So I'd like to think about that. Unpack that a little bit this morning. Our security is rooted in the presence of Jesus. And that leads to a peace about who we're with. So I was thinking about passages. There's quite a few passages in the Bible that talk about God as a refuge or a rock, some kind of shelter, a safe place. And I think the question is, can we truly believe that when it doesn't feel like it? Do we truly believe that God is our refuge and strength when it doesn't feel like it, when life is falling apart? I had to think of people living in Ukraine the last several years, and then maybe some other places as well. When life is just falling apart, are we able to see God as a refuge? And in many ways, we're fortunate with the life that we live and the privileges that we have. But there are examples in history of that changing very quickly. And I think probably in your Sunday school lessons going through history, we probably saw some of those times where things can change. And when we think about all that could happen, we maybe get a little worried and we try to insulate ourselves and we try to take matters into our own hands to protect ourselves from anything that might happen. If this happens, I have this plan in place, and if that happens, I'm prepared. Is that the right outlook? And is that true security? Is there a way to completely secure ourselves from anything bad happening? So I'd like us just to consider that, where we look to for security. What are we turning to? And the first passage, I have two passages that I'd like to look at this morning. The first is from Mark chapter 4. So you can turn with me to Mark 4, and I'll read verses 36 to 41. And this is the story of the calming of the sea, where Jesus calmed the storm. So I'll read from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So I think this story is an example of the security that we're thinking about this morning. Just imagine the setting. So they're out in the boat on this lake, and the storm comes up. And it was a pretty severe storm from the sounds of it. And I don't go boating very much, but I've heard stories about how dangerous it can be. If you're out in a storm, you want to head back. You don't want to be caught in a storm. So this storm, we read that the ship was filling with water. And again, that's a bad sign. You don't want your boat to be full of water. And the disciples were terrified. And this is bad news. And amazingly, it says that Jesus was sleeping in the back of the ship. I don't know how that can happen in the middle of a storm like that, but he was sleeping. And the disciples are getting pretty anxious and fearful. And they woke him up and they said, don't you care that we're dying? The ship is just about ready to go down. Why are you sleeping? And then Jesus stands up and with three words, he calms the storm. He says, Peace, be still. And we know that just like that, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. The storm was stilled by Jesus' words. And I think the real amazing part is what Jesus says next. He turns to his disciples and he asks them, Why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And I was just thinking about his words to his disciples. Why were you so fearful? Did the disciples have a good reason to be afraid? On the boat, full of water, in the middle of the storm. I would think they had a good reason. They were not out of line to feel insecure and respond the way that they did. So Jesus' words don't really seem to add up in our estimation. I would be worried as well. But I think there's a key factor here that we don't want to miss. And that is that the security of the disciples was connected to the fact that Jesus was with them. And it was his presence that made the difference, whether they felt it or not. And I think that we can identify with the disciples many times. We feel like we're on the ship and it's just a great storm and we're going to go down. And we say, Lord, help us. And I can just picture Jesus calmly reassuring us, just like he did for the disciples. I'm with you. There's no need to fear. And I think if you want a good study, look through the Bible all the time that says, I am with you, or I will be with you. There's quite a few references that speak to that, of God's presence. And oftentimes it's connected to not being afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. So I'd like to turn to another one of those passages that talks about God's presence, and that's Psalm 23. So turn with me to Psalm 23, and this is a psalm that we might even have memorized. Very familiar psalm. And here again, the message that it has is very important for us. It speaks to the security that we're thinking about. And I think we can all read this together. Why don't we all stand and read Psalm 23 together and think about the message of security as we read. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Then this psalm is talking about the presence of the shepherd. And if we look at verses 1 to 3, we see that David is talking to us. And he's telling us about his shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah. And with God as his shepherd, he doesn't lack anything. He has no needs that are unmet. He has what he needs. And he talks about some of that provisions, the green pastures that the shepherd leads them to, and the still waters the shepherd provides. And these provide restoration of soul. Verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. How often do we need our soul restored? So what are these green pastures and still waters? I would say it's basically the nourishment of the Word of God. The things that we need, the healthy food that we need. And that's what the shepherd provides. And the sheep that are in the Lord's care know that the shepherd is taking care of them. They have their needs met. And I can't help but think of Jesus' words in John chapter 10 when he says, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And I think these passages are parallel, John 10 and Psalm 23, thinking of Jesus as our shepherd, providing what we need. But there's a recognition, there's a trusting relationship. The sheep know that their shepherd has their best interest in mind. and they have experienced that restoration of their soul. Under this shepherd, I have what I need. I shall not want. And it's not talking about everything on the wish list, that we just get everything that we want, but it's the things that are needful. And it's summed up with the restoration of our soul. There's things that restore our soul. And therefore, they're willing to follow. The Lord provides, and we follow. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So there's paths of righteousness that we're following, the right way. So the shepherd leads and the sheep follow because they're trusting their shepherd to know the right way. And I think that's a picture of security, a sheep in the care of a shepherd who is giving the sheep what they need. It's not something that the sheep can provide for himself, but it's rather found in being in the presence of the shepherd and following. And then this is where we see a change in person. And what I mean by that is that the pronouns that he uses are different. So I mentioned in the first three verses, David is talking to us, and he's telling us about his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and he does this for me, and he provides this. But starting in verse 4, it's different. And he's not talking to us anymore, but he's talking directly to the shepherd. And I wonder, as he thought about where those paths led, he talks about the paths of righteousness, where they went. And we know the story of David and the challenges that he faced in his life, the difficult paths that he was on. And I wonder, as he thought about that, he was moved to speak directly to the Lord as his shepherd. He's not talking to us anymore. And he says, Lord, when I went through that valley of the shadow of death, you were there with me. You gave comfort with your rod and your staff. That touch from your staff reminded me that you were there. You even prepared a table in the middle of my enemies. And it goes to show that following the shepherd does not mean an easy path all the time. There are valleys, the valley of the shadow of death and the table in the middle of our enemies. And I think the key factor for security, thinking in this setting for the sheep, is the presence of the shepherd. If the shepherd is there, we can go through those difficult times, the valley of the shadow of death. And it's summed up in the simple phrase in verse 4, where he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If the Lord is with us, we have no reason to fear. Just like those disciples on the boat. No matter what our surroundings might look like, no matter what valley we're going through, the storm that we're facing, is the shepherd with us? Because that's what really matters. And along with that is a relationship that's there, the trust and the following. I think they're all connected together. And what's the result when we follow the shepherd through the valley? He mentions some things that follow. He talks about an overflowing cup. My cup runs over. And he talks about goodness and mercy following. We don't have to pursue after it, but it follows us as we follow the shepherd. And our dwelling place is in God's house. Speaks to the blessings of following the shepherd through the valley and staying in his presence. And there's more that could be said about that. There's other passages that you could look at. But I want to think about a little bit about application. And for us, how do we apply this? So we think about security and where we find our security. What do we have to do to feel safe? And first of all, I want to say that I'm not suggesting that we live carelessly and just make no preparations, throw everything to the wind. And I think sometimes we can look at an ideal and say, well, if this is the good thing, I want to be all over here, and we totally forget the other side. But I don't think that's a good outlook either, to say if true security is found in Jesus, that I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to come across like I'm saying that. There are common sense things that we can do, but the important thing to remember is that true security can only come through Jesus. And as soon as we get that switched, as soon as we feel that we have to provide it for ourselves, I think we miss out on something, on what true security really is, that peace that passes understanding. And really, it's a state of our mind. Do we have that peace? If we're trying to provide that all on our own, it's going to be hard. And that's really the heart of the message. We want that security. But what are we looking to for that? Are we looking to the presence of the shepherd? Just a story, observation that I made. I was working in a customer's house one time several years ago, and I noticed right away that this man was worried and started out by all the security cameras around the house. And the carpenter was telling me that, you know, this guy has security cameras and they have audio, so just be careful what you say. You can hear everything you say. So that was okay. And then I was working in the master bathroom and walked through the bedroom, and here there's two handguns wrapped around the headboard of his bed, and there's the rounds and rounds of ammo right there with it. And this guy was prepared for any kind of assault that might come his way. And woe to that person who would try that. So he also had a custom-made door in the hallway going back to the bedroom. And it was made out of solid wood and did not have a door handle, but it had two sliding bolts on the bedroom side. So basically a fortress door that you could not batter down, and he was prepared. And he also had the radio on. He was gone pretty much all the time I was there, but he left the radio running all day, and just gives you a glimpse into what he was thinking about and what he was preparing for. I think he was looking for security. He was getting the best type of security system that he could. But I don't think it was quite enough. Because just in my discussion with him, talking with him, I realized that I think he's still worried. And there were these things were on his mind, and you know, the one thing leads to the next. Well, if I do this, what about this? And it's just a constant thought on your mind, what if? And I don't think he quite had the peace that he was looking for. Another story, thinking about locked doors, is the story of the Mennonite family in early America. So maybe in the time period of our Sunday school lesson, before the Revolution, there were Mennonites in the area, and this particular family had, and I was trying to find details in this story. I could not find names or dates. So if you recognize the story and have details, feel free to share. I would like to know. But the story is told of this family who had good relationships with their local Indian neighbors. But there were some tensions in the surrounding areas. Massacres and tensions were flaring, and the word went out this one time that there is a band of Indians and it is not safe. Be warned. So this family was deciding what to do. Typically, they left their doors unlocked because they had good relationships. There was no worries, but now there was this word out that there could be trouble. They were deciding what to do, and the wife was just insistent that they have to lock the doors because there's danger. And the husband just wasn't quite sure if he wanted to do that, and finally he agreed, you know, we'll lock the doors. And they went to bed, and he just did not have peace about it. And after a while of tossing and turning, he went down and he said, I just have to unlock the door. So he went, unlocked the door, and went back to bed, and then he had peace, and he could sleep. And sure enough, that evening, there was a band of Indians that came to the house. And the story is told that the leader of that band says, we will see if the door is unlocked or not. And that will tell us where they really are. If they're locking the door, that shows, says where they're at. And if it's unlocked, you know, we'll let them go. And they tried the door and it was unlocked. And they went in and saw them sleeping there. And there was some that said, you know, we have to kill them. You know, they're with that other side. But the leader said, no, they left the door unlocked. These are our friends. So their lives were spared because of the unlocked door. Not to say, I don't give that story to say that it always happens like that. There's another story about the Hochstetler family who lost their lives because they were unwilling to kill their enemies. In a similar situation, they were being attacked and could have defended themselves but chose not to. And many of them were either kidnapped or killed because of that. That story is found in Coals of Fire, the book Coals of Fire, if you want to see more details on that. So it's not to say that everything turns out right, but simply a reminder that what we see as security is not always reliable because things can change so fast. And what we thought was a sure defense might fall apart. So rather than spend so much effort and worry trying to secure ourselves, which usually leaves people with doubts, and is it really enough? Rather, let's focus on finding our security in Jesus and his presence, because that's where true security is found. So there's this progression that we see. True security is linked to Jesus' presence. And that's connected to our following. Are we following the shepherd? And our following is linked, connected to our trust. Are we able to trust the shepherd? If we look at the path and think, no, there's no way I can go down that path, are we willing to follow? Sometimes the path that Jesus leads us on doesn't really make sense. Can we follow that even through the valley of the shadow of death and trust that Jesus, our shepherd, knows what is best for us? And I believe also that our trust is connected to finding that restoration of our soul. Where does trust come from? How do you build trust with somebody? You know, it doesn't happen right away, but it takes time. It builds and it grows. And I was thinking about this, and I believe the answer is right in the beginning of the psalm, where he talks about the green pastures and the still waters. And the faithfulness of the shepherd in times past is what leads us to trust in the future path of maybe uncertainty. So my question this morning, as we consider our security in Jesus, have you found him to be faithful over and over again? Just think of that song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." There's a line in that song that says, "How I've proved him over and over." Is that true for us? And maybe sometimes we can turn to other people that have been on the path longer than we have, and we can ask them, "How has God been faithful for you?" And I think we can encourage each other in that way. I want each one of us here to experience the faithfulness of God, so that when those times of testing do come, we know that we're with the Good Shepherd. And therefore, we don't need to fear, because God is with us. So in conclusion, I just invite each one of us to consider, what am I looking to for security? Am I trying to provide that all for myself? And have we found the peace that comes as a result of knowing who I am with? Being with the Good Shepherd, something that we can't provide for ourselves. It's not up to us to prevent every possible scenario, but it's rather found as we trust the Shepherd and follow his path and stay in his presence. I think that's where we can find true security. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of gathering and just worshiping you. And as we consider the blessings of being in your presence, the faithfulness that you provide for us, if we follow your path and stay in your presence, help us to do that. Would you calm any worries that we might have and help us to focus on your presence with us, knowing that you provide. As we go about our week ahead, would you guide us and lead us in those paths of righteousness? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we all stand?